Today I want to talk on the subject of prayer. Now, this is something very dear to us, close to us, because we all pray. And many, many books have been written about prayer. Unfortunately, many of those books are teaching us only how to pray, and with the goal of getting something from God. How to pray so that you can get what you want. This seems to be the theme of many books on prayer. They give different types of techniques, what you can do in order to get what you want. So prayer is a kind of a technique by which you can get what you want. That's the way prayer is being projected by many people. I also want to talk about how to pray, but in a very different way, as you will notice when I go on. You know, some of this, I want to first start by talking about what some of these people are teaching. For example, you would have heard or you would have read books about the Lord's Prayer and maybe heard sermons from different people about the Lord's Prayer. And if you look at it, many times the theme is about what technique did Jesus use in this prayer. Okay, he starts with "Our Heavenly Father," then he says "Hallowed be your name," then he says like this, then he says like this. So our prayer should also follow this pattern. Now if you follow this pattern, that prayer is pleasing to God, then you will get what you want. So even this example that Jesus gave, why did Jesus give this example of prayer? The disciples asked him, "Teach us to pray," and Jesus said, "Pray like this." Not the technique. Look at the contents. Contents about what you ought to pray for. What is it you should pray for? Hallowed be God's name. Is that what we are praying for? We are praying for, "Lord, give me this, Lord, give me this, Lord, give me that." But Jesus told us the contents of what we should be praying, not necessarily in this particular order or any such thing. "Let your will be done." Not my will, not your will, your will, not my will, His will. So Jesus was teaching us to pray for these things. Instead, people make it a technique. You start with this, then you go to this, then you go to this, then you go to this, then you have finished a prayer according to the Lord's Prayer. Or some people say, repeat this prayer. So in many churches, they stand up and repeat this Lord's Prayer. No, that's not what Jesus meant. Another technique which people say is, if you want to pray, you fast for so many days and then pray. Then God will be impressed and God will give you what you ask for. We can't impress God with our good works. Whatever we do is colored by sinfulness. Whatever we do, the best we can offer is tainted by selfishness and other forms of sin. So we can never do anything that will please God in such a way, "Okay, now I will give you what you want." No, don't try that with God. Don't try to do something, impress Him, and then try to get something from Him. No, that doesn't work. Why do we fast? We fast because we don't want to be distracted by all these things, by food or by some other things and all that. We want to sit before God and only think about what He wants, what we want to ask from Him, etc. That is why we fast. Not to impress God, not to twist God's hands and say, "Now I have fasted for so many days, now you have to give me this." No, God can't be fooled like that. God can't be manipulated like that. Some other people pray because they think that if I ask anything in faith, God will give to me. So I am trying to build my faith. I am going on repeating some promises of God, and I am refusing all the negative doubts that are coming into my mind, all that people are telling me and all that. I reject all those things, and I am building my faith, accumulating my faith to such an extent. Now I think, okay, now I have faith, God has to give me what I ask for. No. Are we trying to do something and gain something back from God? I have used this example earlier in this church, but let me repeat it again. Faith. There are some schemes, you know, maybe use credit cards or buy something from a particular shop, they give you some points. And then when you accumulate enough number of points, you can go to that place and say, see, I have so many points, I want to claim this. Are we trying to claim something from God by saying, now I have accumulated so much of faith? No, that's not faith. Where is God in this picture? No, it's all about me and my faith and how much faith I have accumulated, how much doubts I have rejected. Nothing about my relationship with God. This is not faith. Faith is a relationship with God. Faith is our confidence in God, our trust in God. We can't accumulate faith and claim things from God. So this is again a wrong understanding about prayer. Another technique which has come up comparatively recently, maybe in the last 30, 40 years, is get other people to agree. You know, brother, you know, sister, I'm going to pray for this. Please agree with me on this. Again, what are we actually trying to do? Twist God's hands, manipulate God's hands, and by saying, see, this person is also praying with me, therefore, you have to give what I need, what I want. And extending this, some people, instead of asking one brother or sister to agree with me and pray, see, when Jesus said agree with me, I think it is a completely different meaning than say, okay, I also agree, you can pray about this. No, it's not that kind of agreement. The word used there in the original Bible is harmonize. You know, when a choir sings in parts, with all the treble and alto and all those things, and then they pray, there's a harmony. And when there are many instruments also accompanying everything in harmony, then there is something there. When Jesus said, if you agree with somebody else, two or three agree together, it's not about, okay, I agree, you can pray for it, you also agree. No, it's not about that. It's about agreement in our spirit. And that kind of agreement will only come when God gives us an assurance in our heart that what I am praying for, He is going to give us. And that person also has that assurance that God is going to give this to us because we believe this is God's will for us. And then there is a harmony, no doubt at all. Doubt just disappears. Then we are sure we are going to get what we get. Not by manipulating people and say, please agree with me. And I was saying, some people extend it by saying, I got 100 people to pray for this. God is not impressed with numbers. Or some people say, I am going to pray whole night. Now He has to give me. See, what a sacrifice I am making. I am staying sleepless whole night and I am praying. Now God has to give this to me. A totally wrong understanding about God. All these techniques that I have been talking about are all means of trying to manipulate God, get what we want, irrespective of what God wants. Irrespective of what God wants to give us, what is good for us, etc., etc., that we are not considering at all. We want this, God has to give it to us, and we will do all these techniques. And some people nowadays, especially these people, there are some groups of Christians who think that we should be like the Jews. So some people say, that when the Jews prayed, they had a prayer shawl with blue tassels and all these things, and then you put it on your head, sit, stand like this and pray, then God will hear, because this blue represents this and the white represents this and all these things. Now we are not Jews. God doesn't want us to have, you know, be Jews. God doesn't see the Old Testament ways of doing things are different now. Now the New Testament says when a man prays, don't cover his head. That's what the New Testament says. These people are saying put a prayer shawl over your head and pray. You know, there's a lack of understanding. Some people are saying use the menorah, you know, this seven sprouted lamp which the Jews had, light that lamp, or take this ram's horn, the shofar, and then blow it, and then God will hear your prayer, God will bless you and prosper you. These are all techniques people are using. Now if you look back at all these examples that I said, where is God in this? These are all things which we do, whether it's a prayer shawl or a lamp or a fasting or getting people to agree or getting 100 people to agree, or all are things which we do, and then we are thinking now we are entitled to getting something that we are asking for. This entitlement. We are not entitled to anything. No. Whatever God gives to us is by grace, unmerited favor. And whenever we try to do something, earn merit, and then go to God and say, give this to me, we are going out of the understanding of grace. We are not dealing with God as recipients of mercy, recipients of grace. We are going as if we are clemens of what we ask for. We deserve this because we have done this. You know, you may have heard, or some of you may have even done this. Some people pray, oh God, if you give me this, then I will give so much of money. I will build a church for you. I will do this. I will do that. Making vows to God. This is really twisting God's hands, isn't it? If you do what I say, I will do all these things for you. As if God is, you know, short of people who are willing to do things for him. Somebody says, oh, if you do this, I will do this. These are all ways of twisting God's hands, manipulating God's hands, and trying to get things from you. For them, for these people, prayer is only a means of getting what they want. That's not prayer. Of course, prayer includes getting things what we need. Yes, it includes that, but prayer is much more than that. Much more than just going and saying, I did this, so you give me this and all that. Prayer is a conversation. You may have heard this before. Prayer is a conversation between a father and a child. We are the children, he is the father. Think of our earthly fathers. Imagine if our earthly fathers were not such great people. At least imagine what kind of fathers we may have had if they were good fathers. Think of a child going to a good father and saying, Father, I need this. And then there is a conversation between the father and the son. And the father says, why do you want this? Oh, all my friends have got it, or I want this, I want that. Then the father will try to explain, no, you really don't need this. This is not good for you. If you get it now, you will get, you know, you may get into problems like this. I think I have a better idea. Why don't you do like this? And the child cries and says, no, I want this, I want this. No, father is a wise father. Father, even if the child cries, the father won't give in. If the father knows this is not good for him. You think of God as our father, to whom we go and say, Father, will you please give this to me? And then we leave it to the father's wisdom and the father's love to decide what is good for us at this time. So prayer has to be a conversation between a heavenly Father and us. It is not about us going there and demanding that he should do so many things for us. You know, now this kind of prayer is only possible for those who have become children of God. Now God is so large-hearted, sometimes, many times, he even answers prayers for those who are not his children yet. You remember when Jesus was on this earth, he went around healing all the people who came to him, casting out all the demons from everyone who came to him. Nobody was left without healing. Were all those people children of God? Were all those people godly people? No. No. Jesus showed God's large-heartedness in blessing even people who were not God's children. Some of them became God's children as a result of this blessing, yes. But Jesus did this out of compassion, out of love and mercy. God says that he sends the rain and the sun on even the wicked people. Now if his heart was not so large, he would say, no, these are wicked people, I can't send this blessing to them, I will not allow it to rain there, I will not let the sun shine there and all that. But he said, no, I will send out my sunlight to everyone. I will give rain, I will give water, I will provide food. What do we learn from here? That even with people who are not children of God, there are some times when God answers prayer. I have come across an example when one person came to a college in Bangalore. His son didn't deserve to be admitted there because of his poor marks and all that. But this person prayed. He is not a believer. He just prayed to God and said, oh God, you know my difficulty. Please help me. He went to the principal, pleaded with him, and got a seat in that college. The son didn't deserve it. He didn't have the merit for it. And this father was not a child of God. He didn't deserve to be answered. But God still answered that prayer because of the largeness of God's heart. So even when some of our prayers are answered like this, it doesn't necessarily mean we are children of God. It's just that God is good. His heart is good. He wants to help everyone. He wants to bless everyone. But you remember, you know, a human father may give some money to a poor child. But that's not the way he treats his own child. His own child has certain privileges of fellowship, communication, closeness and all that, that this other child outside the house does not have. Even though the father may be giving money, may be giving school fees and all those things for somebody else, the relationship is lacking there compared to what he has with his own child. So that is something we must understand. Even though God may answer so many people's prayer in so many ways, usually with regard to earthly things, sickness, job, marriage, so many things, God may answer prayers even if we are not children of God. What we get when we become children of God is a relationship. Then we can walk into his presence, stay in his presence, talk to him, listen to him, ask him from our heart. Jesus said, ask whatever you want. Whatever you want, you ask. Because he is your father. You are his child. He loves you. He cares for you. Please ask whatever you want. That is prayer. Then we are not forcing God to give something to us. We are not manipulating God by saying, see what God, what all I have done for you. What all I have done, I have got so many people to pray. I prayed whole night, I prayed with this shawl on my head. No, we are just going to him because he is our father. We have a relationship and we go to him and frankly open our heart to him and say, this is what I want. There is one example in the Acts of the Apostles. You know, the apostles, the true apostles of Jesus Christ, were going around, and many times they were casting out demons from certain people. Now, some people, the Bible refers to them as the sons of Sceva, seven sons of a man called Sceva. These sons thought, this is a good thing. Now, we also want to cast out demons. But what do we have to do? We heard this Peter and John and all saying, in Jesus' name, get out. So we are also going to say, in Jesus' name, get out. So they went and tried it with some demons. And what happened? The demon said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? So instead of the demons leaving this person, the demons jumped on these sons of Sceva and drove them away. That's because these sons of Sceva did not have the relationship with God that Peter and John had. Without this relationship, Jesus had not given them, sons of Sceva, any authority to use his name to cast out demons or heal the sick or any such thing. But when we become children of God, God gives to us that authority. He says, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall stand against you. So that is a privilege, that's an authority that we get when we become children of God. Then we have an access to God. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have permanent access to God. We can go to God and the Father and talk to Him whenever we want. So, that is how we pray. Pray as talking to our Father, opening our hearts to Him, telling Him what we need, and then listening to Him. Maybe what we are asking for is not good for us. He will tell us by different ways. So this is one of the things that we need to understand about praying. It's a conversation. Now the question some people have is, who should we pray to? Should we pray to the Father only? Or can we pray to Jesus? Can we pray to the Holy Spirit? We know that the Son, the Holy Spirit, they are also God. And they are one with the Father in the sense that they have the same Godhead. They are all God, but three different persons. So praying to God the Father is not the same as praying to Jesus the Son or praying to the Holy Spirit. We must understand that. You know, sometimes we hear people say, my Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus. That's not correct. Heavenly Father is different from the Lord Jesus. Yeah, you can pray to Jesus, but you can't say, it's Lord, our Heavenly Father, thank you for dying for me. The Father didn't die for us. Jesus died for us. So, when we pray, we must think. Just don't repeat words. You know, sometimes, you know, it's a matter of fun, not fun, it's tragic to hear people pray like this. Oh, Father, I am struggling with this thing. Hallelujah. No, that's not correct, isn't it? I am struggling with this. That hallelujah. What does that mean? It's like, I've heard preachers preach like this. Lazarus died. Praise the Lord. Come on. You can't praise God because Lazarus died. This becomes a filler. No, praise the Lord, hallelujah, are all things just we insert to keep the time. No, we should pray with meaning. We should think about who we are praying to. We should think about what we are praying, what we are saying. Jesus said, don't go on repeating words meaninglessly. So, another thing that we must remember when we come to prayer is, who we are talking to. We are talking to God, the creator of the whole universe, the almighty, the all-knowing, all powerful, all knowing, present everywhere, nothing escapes his notice. We are praying to such a person who actually created us. We are not going to go to God and be very chummy about it. You know what I mean? You know, people get very chummy and call each other all kinds of names and joke with them and all that. We can't do that to God. He's the creator. He is our God. He is the Lord. King of kings, Lord of lords, creator of the whole universe, omnipotent, omniscient, everything. We can't. No, what I am saying is not that we don't have this relationship with God as a father and a child. No. I am saying even when we go to God and pray to Him as our Father, we must keep in mind He is God. We are only creatures, created beings. We are only created beings. We don't know everything. We can't do everything what we want. We are so limited in every way, in our understanding, in our ability, in our knowledge. In every way we are limited, and we are also limited in time. God is eternal. So when we go to God, pray respectfully, isn't it? Reverentially. This is one reason we can't reverend anybody else, any human being. Reverend so and so, most reverend so and so. What? That's something that belongs only to God, not to any human being. We must understand who we are talking to. This is the creator of the whole universe, and we are just a small person. God has graciously made us his child. Thank you, God. But we can't take advantage of that and just stroll in and start joking with God. And no, we can't do that. It's not a chummy-chummy relationship. It is a creator-created relationship. We must remember that. We go to God with respect. We don't do that to our bosses in the office, no. Or to any big person in the world. We will talk with respect. Some people will stand like this and all that. We don't have to do it before God. But I'm saying this heart attitude. What do we think God is and what do we think we are? Keep that relationship. Keep that awe and respect for Him. The other thing that we must remember is that our relationship with God is in the process of development. When we become children of God, when we are born again, spiritually speaking, we are just infants, babies. We don't know much. We can't do anything without parents doing something for us. We need to grow spiritually. That means in this context, what I am saying is, we need to grow in our knowledge about God, in our knowledge about His will, how He deals with different situations, how He views different things, what kind of things He likes, what kind of things He hates. We need to know these things. So this is a process of development. Another very important thing which we need to know when we go to God in prayer is to have full confidence in God's wisdom for us. See, even with earthly fathers, when we go to earthly fathers and say, Father, Daddy, I want this, many times Daddy doesn't give us whatever we ask for. You know that. For various reasons, our Heavenly Father is far more superior in His wisdom and His love and understanding and everything. So He really knows what is best for us. And when He says no, when God says no, we must trust Him. He knows best. We mustn't bargain with God, and we mustn't try to twist His hands and all that and say, I want this, I want this, I want this. No. Leave it to God. When we pray and ask God and God says no, leave it to God. He knows best. Maybe we will know a little later why that was the best decision. We may not know immediately, but then we walk by faith. By faith means what? I trust in His wisdom for me. I trust in His plan and knowledge for me, that He knows better than me. However clever I am, however experienced I am, He certainly knows much more than me. And when He says no to some of my prayers, let me accept that. Jesus did that the whole of His life. His prayer was not only in Gethsemane, but all His life His prayer was, Your will, not mine. So we must walk in faith. See, but we must also know that our Heavenly Father is compassionate towards us. He is understanding towards us. Let me quote some of these verses. Psalm 103 verses 13 and 14. Psalm 103 verses 13 and 14. God says, just as the Father has compassion on His children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame, is mindful that we are but dust. In other words, He knows our weaknesses, He knows our limitations. See, even as earthly parents, we know what we can expect a 2-year-old child to do, what we can expect a 20-year-old child to do. We know that. How much God, He knows how much we can bear. Each of us is different in our spiritual development, in our intelligence, in our experience, in our knowledge, in our abilities. Every way we are different. God knows each one of us, how much this person can bear, how much that person can bear. So He adjusts everything according to our ability to handle it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 says, He will not allow us to be tested beyond our ability. He will not do that. How can He do that? Because He knows our individual abilities. So for each of us who is His child, God has a special plan. I can take this, He can take that. All these things He knows, God knows. So that is one thing. Another thing is Matthew chapter 6. Verse 32. Matthew chapter 6 verse 32. God says, for the Gentiles eagerly seek after these things, for your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Now, what is the difference between the Gentiles and believers? Let's talk about non-believers, unbelievers and believers. Children of God and those who are not children of God. What's the difference? Those who are not children of God have really no desire for spiritual things. They have no desire for eternal things. What they pray is only for earthly life. I want this money, I want this promotion, I want a house, I want this, I want that. I want my son to get like this, I want my daughter to be married like this, all these things. They are only praying for earthly things. Jesus said, I know you need all these things. You are living on this earth. Yes, you need all these things. Yes, that is true. And Jesus said, your Heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. And another verse in the Bible says, even before you call, I will answer, because He knows we have need of these things. When the right time comes, see, I read the story about a man. After his marriage, he got his first child. It was a daughter. Then instead of rejoicing, he was very sad. So people asked him, why are you so sad? You got a child, why are you so sad? Now I am thinking, this girl is going to get married and she will have a mother-in-law, and how that mother-in-law will treat my little daughter. So he was worried. This child is just born. He is worried about all these things. But see, many times we are worried about things that are years ahead of us, and we are worried. But God says, please don't worry. I know you have need of all these things. Don't worry. I will take care of those things when they come. Don't worry years in advance. Okay, you may have to plan. Planning is different from getting worried, but don't get worried about years to come. My Heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. And then Jesus said, but your people, that is who? Believers, children of God, your people set your heart on things above, not just earthly things. Okay, you need earthly things, you ask for it, fine. But don't just ask for earthly things. Seek God's kingdom and His righteousness first. All other things will be added to you. Don't worry so much about these things. But as children of God, what are you praying for? How much are you praying for eternal things? For example, our character is going to be eternal. How much of our prayer is about our spiritual needs? Lord, help me to trust in you and to stop worrying. How many prayers are there like that? Lord, I am struggling with lust. I don't want to go on like this. Please help me. How many people are praying like that? These are eternal things. Lord, give me wisdom to speak in the right way. Give me grace to be patient with people. Give me grace to be more understanding. How many people are praying such things? The true children of God. Because their heart is set on things above and not on the things of this earth. Now this is one way you can see who is, one way, not the only way, but one way you can see from listen to somebody praying. Then you can know where his heart is. What are the things he prays for all the time? I want promotion, I want this money, I want this car, I want that. Is that all he is praying for? So God, when we build a relationship with God, our prayers begin to change. Our prayers begin to become more and more oriented towards eternal things, spiritual things, and not just about the things of the earth. The things of the earth, God knows we have need of them. God is not saying, therefore, don't ask for earthly things. No, that is to jump to the extreme. No, God knows we have need of earthly things. Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, what we need. Bread doesn't mean just food, our clothes, a place to stay, a job to work in with, and to get married, and to get admission to the children, and marriage. All these things are earthly things, yes. But God knows we have need of these things, and we don't have to, you know, think that no, we shouldn't pray for this. Pray. But as we develop our relationship with God, pray more for eternal things, spiritual things, how God wants to transform us into the likeness of His Son. That is His first goal for our life. Imagine one person, very rich, very prosperous, everything is fine with him, he went to hell. Another person, a beggar on the streets, he went to heaven. What made the difference? The relationship with God. Now, if we spend our whole life praying for earthly things, you know, some people talk about this. In the book of Proverbs, there is a verse like this. I see a man who is old. He doesn't have any children. He has enough money to take care of himself, but he's still working. For what? For who is he working? And he's not thinking about heavenly things and all that. He's thinking about, I'm going to make a new barn. I will have new storage space. I will expand my business. I will diversify. I will do this and I will do that. Only thinking about those things, where is your heart? Is it on God or is it on the earth? Is it on yourself? These are things we need to look at. Another attitude in prayer is how we pray. I mentioned this a little earlier, but I want to put it in this way. When we pray, it is a request to God. It is not a claim. It is not a demand on God. It is a request. Now, Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So when we go to God, this is the right attitude to have. Lord, this is what I think I need. Will you please give this to me? And we wait on God. God may answer in different ways. God may give what we want. That's one way. God may tell us, no, that's not good for you, and not give what we want. That's also an answer to prayer. Sometimes God says, wait. This is not yet the right time. You know, I have come across in my own experience and in other people's experiences, a child of God is looking for a job or looking for a marriage, and he is praying or she is praying, and it doesn't happen like that, and she or he is thinking, why is it not happening? Because in this process of waiting for God to answer, God is trying to purify our motives, intentions, etc. See, just take the case of marriage. Okay, I want to get married. Okay. Who do you want to get married to? What kind of a marriage are you looking for? Are you looking for a very rich person to get married to? Are you looking for a very qualified person to get married to? Or are you looking for a person who loves the Lord sincerely, who is interested in you, who will take care of you, who will love you, who will be with you, who will be faithful to you? Are you looking for that kind of a person, or some great person? Or you are applying for a job. Why are you applying for this job, not that one? As we wait on God, and if we keep asking God, Lord, why nothing is happening to me? God may speak to us and say, see, this has to be changed. That one has to be changed. So in the process of receiving an answer, we not only receive an answer, what we asked for, we also get some spiritual development in the process. Isn't that much better than just getting whatever we ask for? So this is another process in this conversation and dealing with God. When we ask God and God says, God doesn't say anything, God is silent, what happens? Many times it happens, isn't it? Many times it happens. We are praying sincerely, we put our request to God, but there is no answer from God. That is a test of our faith. Abraham had to wait 25 years before he finally got the promised child. During those 25 years, he was tested. At one point, he failed with Ishmael. But again, he realized that was a mistake, but kept waiting for God. So when we don't get an answer to prayer immediately, our faith in God is tested. Faith in what sense? I know my Father knows. I know my Father understands my situation. I know He cares for me. I know He is planning the very best for me. I don't have to fear. I don't have to seek men's influence and power and help and all that. I will depend on God. He will do this at the right time, in the right way. So in many times, when we are waiting for God's answer and He is not saying anything, our faith is the one which is getting tested. Many people, unfortunately, when they don't get an answer from God the way they want, they think something is wrong with God. And they say, I don't want this God. I'm not going to pray. Many young people, for example, do that. They pray some prayer and it doesn't work out that way. So they say, no point praying to God. God doesn't listen. God doesn't care for me. They leave God. What they failed was in their own faith. They failed in their faith in God. The Father was planning something wonderful for them. They didn't believe that. They thought they knew best. They thought they want this and nothing but this. And why God is not doing that? And so they left God. Many times it happens. even for older people it happens. So something is very, they think something is very important for them, they don't get an answer, they get upset with God and they leave God. That's the most foolish thing to do. If we have faith in God, yes, He knows best. He knows what's good for me. I don't know. I am willing to be corrected. See, many times when we pray to God for wisdom, for guidance, Lord, I don't know. I want to get married. I want to get the job, but I don't know which one to take. Then it's good to go to God and say, oh God, I want you to help me, guide me, show me what to do. Because I am a fallible person. I can make mistakes. My knowledge is limited. My wisdom is limited. Please protect me from making mistakes. Because I want to do what you have planned for me. I don't want to miss it. Please guide me. Please protect me from going to the right or to the left. Somehow guide me. Send people to correct me. Send people to warn me. Somehow protect me. That is another right attitude in prayer. Recognizing, I don't know everything. I don't know what to pray for. I don't know what's the best thing for me. I leave that to God and I'm willing to listen to Him. I'm willing to hear His word. You know, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, or in other words, pray without giving up. Jesus also gave us an example. Luke chapter 18, Jesus gives an example of somebody. He says, He gave this example to teach people to continue to pray without giving up. So there is a time when we know this is God's will for us, but answer is still not coming, we should not give up. See, in Abraham's case, God told Abraham, I am going to give you a son. That is, Abraham knows it is God's will. So God, he continued to pray even 25 years, but finally he got a child. For us, there are certain things we don't know. For example, should I take this job or that job? We really don't know. Then we wait on God to show us which door will open, which door will close, when we consider various practical things, and then we think, and this probably this is the right thing to do. But there are many other things where God's will is very clear. For example, do not fear. God's will is very clear. Flee from youthful lusts. God's will is very clear. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Be angry, but don't sin. God's will is very clear. When we are failing in areas like this, where the will of God is very clear, we should keep on praying till we get the answer. Not, oh, I prayed two times like the fox which jumped on the grape. A few times they jumped and then they said, no, these grapes are sour. No, God doesn't answer prayer. Instead of saying that, when we know this is the will of God, pray without stopping, even if I can't see any answer. That is a test of our faith. But sometimes, instead of praying like this to do God's will, we continue to pressurize God to give us what we want. Then sometimes God may give in to us in order to teach us a lesson. Not because He thinks that's a good thing for us, but in order to teach us a lesson. Psalm 106, verses 14 and 15. But they craved intensely in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. So He gave them their request, but sent a wasting disease among them. What happened was, these people left Egypt and they started complaining. Oh, what kind of manna is this? All the time manna, manna, manna. Oh, we remember Egypt, how we used to have meat and fish and cucumber and all these things. How nice it was in Egypt. So God said, okay. God sent some quails, birds. They came and fell down in front of them. God says, eat till it comes through your nose. God used such words. Now, And they ate, and God killed so many of them for complaining. So it's foolish for us to press God, to pressurize God to get what we want. We may finally get what we want, but we will ruin ourselves, spiritually speaking. An example we have is the prayer of this prophet Balaam in the Old Testament. This king of Moab, Balak, asked Balaam, "Come and curse Israel for me." Balaam knew in his mind already, it's not right for me to bless people whom God, curse people whom God has blessed. But he wanted money, so he said, "Let me find out from God what he would say." So he prayed, and God said, "No, you don't curse them. I have blessed them." So he told Balak, "No, I can't come and curse them." So Balak said, "I will give you more money, however much you want, house full of gold, I will give you." So Balaam said, "Let me check again." Why should he check again? God has already revealed his will to him, but he is enticed by this money. Now he says, "Let me check again what God says." Now God said, "Okay, you go." He went. You know what happened, donkey and all those stories after that. Finally, this Balaam was also killed in the battle. So, don't try to pressurize God to get what we want. It's going to ruin us. It's going to destroy us. But think, God is wise. He knows what is good for us. Submit to God. Now, if we want to pray according to the will of God, we must know God. How do we know God? From His Word. First of all, from His Word. I want to read this Joshua chapter 1 verses 7 and 9. 7 to 9. "Only be strong and very courageous," God is telling Joshua. "Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I have been called by my name, O Lord." So when we read the Word of God, the written Word of God, the Bible, and we meditate on it, our hearts become filled with the wisdom of God, with the knowledge of God, knowledge about how God looks at things and people and all that. Then we learn little by little how to pray according to the will of God. Most people these days are not reading the Bible at all. Some people I know are only comforting themselves by reading some devotional, one verse in the beginning, some story, and some nice words in the end, and think, "Oh, I have read my portion." No, that's not the way to know God. Read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Everything has something to tell us. And open our hearts to God and say, "Lord, teach me your ways. Show me your paths. Help me to walk in them. And when I am tending to turn to the right or to the left, give me a voice in my ears saying, 'No, this is the way. Please protect me. I am helpless without you. I am lost without you.'" We sing a song like that. "I am lost without you. I can't manage this life without you. I need you. I'm entirely dependent on you for everything. My existence, whatever I do, whatever I say, anything. Lord, please be close to me. Help me." How to know that? Read the Bible. Take time to read the Bible. If you say you don't have time, read it in the toilet. Read it in the bus when you are traveling. Read it when you are waiting for the bus. You can do that. Those who are interested in knowing God will do all these things and more. Now you have apps in your mobile, smartphones. Whenever you have free time, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, click, 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 you can read the Bible. Read the Bible, get to know God, God's heart, and pray according to God's heart and see how this relationship becomes stronger and stronger. And when we have this conversation, ask God questions. Lord, why do you say like this? What is wrong with this? Ask God. God, like we talk to our father, Daddy, why are you saying I can't have this? That uncle's daughter is doing this, why not me? Why? Ask God. Not in rebellion, not to show that he is wrong. He is always right, we may be wrong. Go to God, ask him. When we ask him in humility, he teaches us. He tells us why that is wrong, why this is not good for us, all these things. That's how we grow in our relationship with God. And Jesus said, ask whatever you want, because he's your father. Ask whatever you want, but allow him to make the decision. He knows best. Don't insist on your own way. Don't try to manipulate God's hands. Allow him to make the decision. Allow him to teach you. Allow him to correct you. But then as we do that, we find that our relationship with God is becoming closer and closer, more and more intimate. We can recognize his voice in our heart. Everything will begin to go better and better. So prayer is talking to our Heavenly Father. It's a relationship in prayer. It's a conversation. Submit to his wisdom and his decisions. Learn about him from the Bible. Keep thinking about him. Start talking about him with one another when we have meet for fellowship. Don't just talk about the weather and the politics and the election in the US and all these things, but talk about God, what he did for you, what he did for them. Learn more about God. We have only a short time here on this earth. Learn to develop a close relationship with him so that when we stand before him, he won't be a stranger to us.